2:03. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But for you, there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins, and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called, ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us chant the introit on your insert.
Let your steadfast love comfort me, according to your promise to your servant.
Thank you. and without your aid we can do no good thing. Grant us the help of your grace that we may please you both in will and deed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is from Amos, chapter 6. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass over to Calneh and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? O you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence? Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs up to the sound of the harp and, like David, invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 146 responsibly, whole verse by whole verse.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul.
Sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to too much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves, and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And rise for the Hallelujah and verse.
According to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. Beside all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to them, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The Nicene Creed on page 206.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge my baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 708, so you may be seated.
Our sermon text today from the Gospel of Luke presents to us vivid imagery of contrast. The contrast between the rich man and Lazarus could hardly be starker or more striking. One man, rich, well fed by feasts, and not just a lot of food, but sumptuous fare, feasts of opulence. The other man, poor, scrounging meager scraps of food from the rich man's table, discarded leftovers, just anything with a bit of nutritional value. The rich man, clothed in luxurious linens and in the most expensive color to make at that time, purple. The poor man, Lazarus, well, no clothing is mentioned, but he was clothed in human flesh, flesh covered with sores, open weeping wounds, the only balm coming from the tongues of the salivating dogs that licked them. The rich man was ensconced behind his gates, keeping the poverty-stricken like Lazarus out without mercy. Lazarus, the poor man, lay outside the gates, destitute but desiring mercy, just receiving whatever was given him. And finally, the greatest contrasting imagery depicted by Jesus is when both men die. Lazarus, the poor man, died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The heavenly hosts of Almighty God stoop down and wing their way to the heavens with a saint whom the world disdained and discarded. The rich man, well, he also died and was buried, but the rich man wasn't carried by angels, no heavenly hosts or reception for him. No, he was buried in the cold earth by mortal men, and he was received into hell by the devil and his dark angels. The rich man awoke from death to Hades, and not Hades as simply a place of the dead, but Hades as hell, a place of torment and anguish, a habitat without water, where the tongue is hot and dry, parched, where thirst is never satisfied. Hell, a site of punishment and pain, the most unaccommodating accommodation. And not just physical torment, but a complete and eternal separation from any comfort by a chasm no one can cross, completely separated from the love of God. And not so with Lazarus. Lazarus awoke from death to life in heaven. The angels gently placed him at Abraham's bosom, where he was comforted in repose of contentment and joy. No more mention of hunger, no more sores or bodily ailments, only peace and comfort. Resting at the chest of the master of the house, reclining in a place of honor at the eternal feast of the Lamb. This contrasting imagery can hardly be more distinct. Rich and luxurious, poor and beggarly, feasting sumptuously, eating scraps meagerly, torment and anguish, comfort and rest. But is this contrasting imagery the thing we are really supposed to be focused on? What are we really supposed to learn from Jesus' words? The old saying is, a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, in this case, it's not so much what the contrasting pictures say, but what words led to the contrast. The words and actions behind the imagery. We see the contrast between the rich man and Lazarus with the eyes of our imagination. But Jesus invites us to hear the contrast with our ears of faith, understanding what led to this contrasting imagery. The imagery of this life and eternity for those who hear the Word of God is in stark contrast to those who don't listen to the Word of God, who don't hear Moses and the prophets. Consider the rich man. There's nothing to indicate being rich is inherently bad, but it's abundantly clear the rich man lived life according to his fallen human nature and used his wealth only for selfish pursuits. So how might the imagery of the rich man's life have been different had he heeded the word of God? Perhaps he would have acted with a Christian heart, opened his gates, and and invited Lazarus to come in to eat with him. And not only had given him the best food to eat, but also used his wealth to ensure Lazarus received medical care for his wounds, the pouring in of oil and wine, binding up for healing. See, earlier in his gospel, Luke records Jesus saying that when you have a great feast, to invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. The rich man didn't invite poor and lame Lazarus to his feast. No, not that penniless beggar. And Lazarus probably smelled terrible, dirty with infected, weeping wounds. How gross. The rich man couldn't have that around his house, and he certainly wasn't going to give his money to help a guy like that. The rich man received his reward. Maybe like me, at this point, you're examining your own heart, thinking about the times you've acted selfishly, not associating with someone because they weren't part of your social crowd, refusing to befriend someone who was poor, with a lot of issues. Who wants to be friends with someone like that? Being friends with those kinds of people is work. It's exhausting, draining, sometimes even on the pocketbook. And those people with health issues who can't afford to pay for health care, well, suck it up, Buttercup. That's just life. I've got my own health insurance, and I'm not going to spend my hard-earned money to help you. So if we take an honest look at ourselves, we quickly see there are times we've been that rich man. The gates of our hearts and pocketbooks closed to those in need, lacking compassion, lacking mercy. So if we hear Jesus' words today and contrast our own behavior against God's word, we soon see ourselves as a spiritual Lazarus. I am the poor man, completely destitute of anything of my own to call good. I am the one clothed in flesh. The weeping sores of my sin reveal my disease. I am the hungry, with a hunger for forgiveness. All I can do is desire mercy, scraps from a rich man's table. Thanks be to God. You and I lay outside the gates of a rich man, not the rich man that Jesus talks about in our text today, but a rich man who opens his gates and shows mercy. Our Father opened the gates of heaven and sent his Son to this earth to comfort all who lay at the gates, desiring mercy. The riches of the Father are distributed to us through his Son, through his death on the cross for us. The blood he shed for the forgiveness of your and my sins is much more valuable than money, silver or gold. Jesus died for your and my selfishness. He rose again so that we might be merciful because we have received mercy. That we might befriend the poor because God befriends us, beggars of his grace. And our rich Father, he holds nothing back. He gives us much more than scraps from his table. He invites us to recline at a heavenly feast with all the saints. He has adopted us as sons, children of God, inheritors of all things by life in his Son, kept by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your rich Lord has healed your disease of sin by water and word and clothed you with his righteousness. And his clothing is of much greater value than purple because it has been made white and pure by the red blood of Jesus, blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. So it's no wonder we marvel with the Apostle John. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God? And so we are. To hear the contrast in the imagery presented to us today is to hear the Word of God, the Word that calls to repentance, the Word that comforts by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Let us consider our text again, where the rich man begs Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his brothers so that they might not be in the torment that he is, they might avoid that. Warn them, he says. Another translation would be to bear witness. The rich man is asking for someone to go to his brothers from the dead and solemnly declare that the words of Moses and the prophets are true. What does Abraham say? Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Does the preacher have to be resurrected from the dead for the message to be true? No, of course not. For the rich man and for us who have not witnessed a resurrected Jesus, words of God about resurrection are received by faith. After all, the psalmist writes, the Holy One will not be abandoned to Sheol or see corruption. And the words of the prophets Elijah and Elisha were vindicated by the resurrection of the widow's son and the son of the Shunammite woman raised from the dead. The sign of Jonah foreshadowed Jesus' resurrection. And Jesus himself is risen. No greater sign is necessary. Holy Scripture contains all that is necessary to avoid eternal torment and to gain eternal life. The contrast between eternal torment and eternal comfort is the contrast between hearing and rejecting the Word of God and hearing and believing the word of Moses and the prophets. It's the contrast between unbelief and faith. Hearing Moses and the prophets doesn't mean demanding miracles, no. In contrast, hearing the word of God is believing the words of Moses and the prophets, no matter what your eyes see. You may see poor on earth now who are rich in heavenly places. All who are poor in spirit but rich in faith toward God have a place of honor in heaven. The contrasts of earth are mirrored in eternity. The rich in themselves are poor, and the poor in themselves are rich. The merciless receive no mercy, and the merciful receive mercy. The self-satisfied on earth hunger and thirst in hell, while the hungry and thirsty for God hunger and thirst no more in heaven. So, brother and sister in Christ named Lazarus, do not despair of your spiritual poverty, your illness of sin, or the fact this world has cast you aside despite or because of your faith. You are rich in Christ. Your sins are forgiven. But like him, you are hated by this world for the sake of the truth. So we continue to prayerfully sing, Lord, let at last thy angels come, to Abram's bosom bear me home, that I may die unfearing. Our rich Father in heaven has swung wide his gates in the cross of Jesus Christ. His mercy invites you to come and feast with him. Angels are coming to bear you home to eternal comfort and rest at the breast of Jesus Christ, your Lord. All glory, honor, and worship be to him forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Prayer of the church, we stand to pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Lord of life, you provide us with daily bread in abundance. Preserve us from the worship of idleness and the love of leisure. Instead, foster in us contentment in your word, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, as you once gave Moses and the prophets so that people might hear your word, you also provided the apostles of the New Testament and the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. continue to provide pastors, missionaries, teachers, and laborers who make your gospel known among the nations. Preserve those who currently serve within your church, and raise up more workers, men and women, to labor in your harvest field. Bless our congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church, all the work of our congregation, early childhood, campus ministry, and international ministry. Bless Anika Slayton as she serves you in Leipzig, Germany. And bless Pastor Jonathan Anderson as he soon begins his work in the Lutheran Church of Panama. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father in heaven, preserve us from all idols and idleness. Bless us in our daily vocations. Bless fathers, mothers, children, employers, employees. May we and our generation faithfully guard our hearts and rejoice in your gifts. This week, bless Corbin Oliger, Pastor Matthew Moss and Bo Rogers, David Huntley, Barry Huntley and Daniel Jupe, Michelle Law, Calix Taffy, Joni Eisenbrown, Mike Stecker, Celia Huntley, Jackie Tapto, as they celebrate their baptism and birthday. Lord, in your mercy,
in our prayer.
Merciful God, you promised to hold accountable all who hold authority over us. Bless our president, our governor, all legislative bodies, all judges and magistrates, all who serve in the public trust, that they may act with integrity and honor in the fulfillment of their duties and serve the causes of peace and justice for all. We pray for peace for the Ukraine and Palestine and Israel and Syria, and be with Calvin and Eli, Daniel, Gabe, Mike, and Alex as they serve you in the military. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Hear our prayers in behalf of those in need of mercy and healing and strength. Jerry Hughes, Sally McNeil, and Sarah Lemke, Mike Knox, Pastor Lee Hagen, and Johnny Eisenbrown, Betty Tinney, Edward Ward, and Raymond Sendelbach. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort the family of Candy Darman after death this past week. Comfort the family that she has been welcomed into paradise, place of Abraham and all the saints, where we will join her one day. May your comfort be upon them. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we praise your name for your faithfulness to Abraham, Lazarus, and to all the saints who've gone before us. Enliven us by your word and sacrament, that convinced of Jesus' death and resurrection, we may eagerly await the day of our resurrection for his sake. Through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
At this time, we will now gather the offerings, and as we do, please take the ritual of friendship pad at the end of the pew, fill out the sheet, tear it out, and put it in the basket in the narthex. You may be seated for the offerings.
Service of the Sacrament, page 208. We stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemn the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly bar them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promise salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Strengthen him. I strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you.
Divinus, page 211, we stand to sing. Shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen.